This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, how our young voters are going to affect the next GE.
Yes, because of course Undi 18 is finally being implemented. So first we're going to look at how having these new voters will change our politics. And then we're also going to look at how political parties will need to adapt. And finally, let's talk politics in school.
So tell us, how would you like politics to be taught in schools? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08 really, and well, it's something to celebrate. On Tuesday, de facto Law Minister Dato' Sri Wan Junaidi Tuanku Jaafar informed the Dewan that the government is looking to implement Undi 18 by the end of the year. It's been quite a journey to get here, of course, lots of stops and starts. Needless to say, this is something that's being welcomed and also bringing about a lot of questions in terms of what this means for politics and how political parties will need to adapt and, you know, really appeal to a whole new generation of voters.
Nobody knows, right? I mean, that seems to be the general consensus. Every time that we've discussed this, the feedback that has come has really been that it's hard to say. And it's hard to say, I think, for all the same reasons that you can't say that Malaysians vote en bloc or that any certain type of Malaysian does. And yet, I think, in the lead up to Undi 18, I don't think we necessarily know why it was that after all the stops and starts, it appears that, yeah, we can just implement it at the end of year, no problem. But regardless of why it was that there were so many challenges in the first place, I think in talking about it, some of the main themes that have come through in the conversation has always been how young voters will vote, the level of political awareness that young voters will have, the level of political engagement, hopefully, that this will see from younger Malaysians, whether it's participating as just as citizens in general, as voters, as well as politicians, because that's also a door that's going to be opened. So I think now that it's officially being implemented and it's closer than ever, we are maybe closer to getting some answers, and we're also seeing how political parties are preparing for that.
So that's an interesting one, because just very recently, PKR is preparing for GE15 by signing on several young activists into their party. So it's been reported that 20 youth activists joined the party on Malaysia Day. And Anwar Ibrahim said that these new members will not necessarily be featured as candidates, but it does sort of add to, I think, a certain push towards encouraging younger people in terms of, I think, appealing to a younger block of voters with issues that may appeal to them. You're right that this is very early days yet, and I'm very curious to see how this is going to pan out in the elections, given that a lot of the youth wings for our parties, youth is 40. I think this is going to change the way, I hope this is going to change the way a lot of our politicians look at these issues.
So there are a few things here. I know we said earlier we don't know how it is that young voters are going to which way they're going to go with this. But what is quite clear, or at least what's coming through, is a focus on employment, a focus on the economy, because we do have so many young people at the moment unable to start their adult lives because there are no jobs, right? There's just no path forward in that regard. So that's definitely something that I think, I suspect, is going to be a theme that runs through. But the other thing is, I think that generationally speaking, or in general, that the youth are going to be sensitive to this idea of being courted for courting's sake. And I think that if we look at the way that younger politicians have been treated in parliament, for example, being spoken over, being mocked, specifically for their age even, then there is going to be a sensitivity to, okay, so you bring me in, but are you listening to me? You know, if you ask me what I want, is it actually translating into action or into your party's policy or manifesto? So it's going to be interesting to see how youth participation pushes parties and pushes our entire system to be better or to change in a fundamental way.
And I think alongside with that conversation about the system, it's also worth looking at how we create political awareness anyway. Because if you're talking about people voting at 18, it means a year after they come out of secondary school, they're going to be voting. I know a lot of young people who are extremely politically engaged and aware, but I think that that's a conversation and an opportunity that needs to be made, that needs to be given in a much more structured manner. Because right now in school, we don't necessarily get a political education. And I don't mean that as a politically aligned education. I mean an awareness of what politics is and how it affects our lives.
Real politics, actually, I think, is what's very much lacking, because we know the party histories. We, of course, all know who our prime ministers were and have been. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you truly understand how they got there or even... You know, I think the opposition, for example, there is no mention of an opposition whatsoever in our schools. And I mean, there are, but they're sort of done in passing. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not speaking to alignment, but understanding the role that an opposition plays in a functioning democracy is something that should be known and should be, you know, should be made easy to understand. And right now it is not.
That's what we're going to be talking about today, really, young people and politics. And this is coming on the wake of Undi 18 finally about to become a reality. And we'd like to hear from you. How would you like politics to be taught in schools? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Badrul Hisham Ismail from Iman Research to look at how political parties, but to look at how this will affect our political landscape. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:15. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn, and we're talking about the implementation of Undi 18, which is coming up later this year, and the impacts of this on our political scene. So we would like to hear from you. How would you like politics to be taught in schools as we prepare for our younger voters to come out and really making their voices heard? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to talk about how this changes our political landscape, we have joining us Badrul Hisham Ismail, Director of Programs at Iman Research. Badrul, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So reports are suggesting that we will have more than 1.2 million new voters once Undi 18 is tabled and enacted. And this, of course, takes into account those who are 18 to 21 who will now be able to vote. How do you see that affecting our political landscape?
Well, of course, there's the obvious thing of having that said many new voters that we are still unsure of. What their political preferences are. So we will see the current political parties will be trying to fight over this group that is still up for grabs. And of course, you know, come the, you know, election period, we will see a lot more campaigns that will be sort of geared to the issues that we assume that this new group of voters would be concerned about. But in terms of the political landscape as a whole, although this new change is very much welcome, the current political structure as a whole is still pretty much the same. Political parties still operate in the same way. People, you know, politicians still have to go through the ranks of their own parties, balancing what they think the public needs or the public wants, and balancing what with what their own parties would like to pursue, their own agendas and all that. So there, I don't think there will be a lot of changes in that aspect as long as these other parts of other elements of our political landscape is still the same. In fact, we might not even have new faces in politics yet, which will be the thing that a lot of these voters would look at when they go out to vote.
I wanted to pick up on another number here, which is the 500,000 new voters likely to become eligible year on year as they turn 18. So I hear you and understand all the reasons why you might not be feeling particularly optimistic about any change. But with more young voters coming on, not just at the end of the year, but every year here on out, might we see some form of change? You know, might there be some adaptation with this influx?
There will be, but like you said, it will be something that will happen gradually rather than an overnight change as more younger people become eligible to vote. The narrative of not just politics, but anything about national, you know, from culture to idea of nationhood, to idea of nation identity will have sort of a gradual shift, which we don't even know yet into what direction. But that will certainly have an effect towards the bigger landscape, which will happen more gradually rather than drastically.
So the Law Minister has said that the Election Commission is in the process of really looking for solutions to implement Undi 18 as well as automatic voter registration. What do you think some of these challenges might be?
Well, we don't know yet how the mechanism of the automatic voter registration will be implemented. So that we need, you know, to have more insight from their part on how this is going to be done. But even besides that, the issue of cleaning up the voter rolls, which has been something that people have been talking about for a very long time. So this will still be around, so we still need to look into those issues, not only having new voters, but, you know, the existing ones, whether they are rightly addressed, whether they are being cleaned up. You know, we're still going to have issue of people who have, you know, deceased but still registered as a voter. So how are these issues are going to be solved? And I think the Election Commission would have to really work with the National Registration Department, I would imagine, especially for the automatic registration. Because then, are we going to have a separate registration? Does EC would have their own, or can it be put into one system where, but just by looking at the national registration, you can already know who will be eligible or not? So, which has yet to be seen how this thing will be implemented.
Overall, what do you make of the winding path that Undi 18 has been through and the fact that it's now finally being recognised and implemented?
Well, this is an issue that has been fought by many people from very different generations. Even when I was of that age, you know, that issue has always been fought over by different groups of people. And seeing that it's now, you know, have been decided that it will be implemented, it gives a little bit of a breather. At least one thing is solved. You know, we now at least have agreed that people above 18 will be eligible for voting. How it's going to work out is a whole different thing, but at least something to be celebrated, I guess.
And that long process really also meant that a lot of young people were feeling frustrated and disenfranchised. And now that the bill is going to be enacted soon, are you getting a sense that there's more optimism amongst young voters?
In a way, yes. I guess just knowing that one thing has been achieved, no matter how far, how long it has been fought, you know, it gives some kind of a success feeling to the general public, and there will be some optimism involved. But, you know, even before this, there are groups of youth who have already been engaging with the political scene in their own way, even if they are not eligible to be a voter yet. And many also would understand that, you know, voting is just one aspect of being part of the whole political life as a citizen. So, I guess optimism, some freshness, some kind of a thing to celebrate without forgetting that there are always other roles and other activities and other things that we can do to be part of the whole process and having the voice heard.
How do you think the events of the last 2 years, like Lanka Sheraton, the multiple prime ministerial changes, will affect the way our politics is perceived among our youth and our young voters?
I would suspect they are not that affected by it as much as existing voters, or at least as much as people who voted in the I think it is more a sensitive issue and a heartbreaking if the what played out went against what they wished for, or went against the mandate of GE14. It is that group of people who already been fighting or already been involved with politics and who have been voting, especially in the last election, are the ones who are more hurt, I guess, in terms of what has been happening in the past year. I would assume for new voters, they just see this as an opportunity for them to really go, head on and 100% into political scene. People who at that age already have political ambition can have a head start, whereas people from different generation had to wait a little bit more, even though they can just join any group by then. But, knowing that you are now able to influence an outcome of the election, give a more positive aspect rather than really thinking about what had happened in the past where they weren't even part of that process yet.
So let's talk about the voters that will now be a part of that process, right? What issues are likely to be most important to a younger voting base?
Well, we know from, experience in engaging with youth, by a lot of organizations and from Iman ourselves, that number one is always going to be education issue. I think probably a PTPTN issue will come back to the forefront, especially by this group. And of course, with COVID, even the question of education itself is already, the idea of our current education system itself is already being questioned. So there will be more discussion on this matter. And of course, jobs and employment, that would always be, I would say these two issues would always be the main issue for youth. Having security, having knowing what, how are they going to be able to survive the future, which very much rely on these two aspects, jobs and education. But at the same time, on the side, there will be a lot more discussion about how the nation will move forward, maybe culturally, maybe our identity as a nation will have, I would say, new inputs rather than how the older generation have been talking about it. We might see people having, I hope at least to see different opinions and different views that can sort of put some freshness into this whole thing.
How do you think political parties are going to try to appeal to youth voters?
Unfortunately, I think the first thing they will do is very superficial gimmick that they think would be attractive for the youth. Probably they will be using more TikTok. Probably they try to do more hipster-like campaign, which is not going to be really addressing any issue, but I think at least superficially, they will try to attract that group of people in that regard first. But hopefully, our youth are more vocal in terms of responding to those superficial effort that we might hope to see real issue being discussed. Throughout COVID, youth group have always been savvy in using technology and discussing issues that are very much at their heart. And I really hope that the political parties can sort of be better in gauging what the sentiments are. Again, it seems like most of our current political parties are slightly a bit, unsure how they are going to engage with the youth, because this is something that they never really have to deal with. A lot of their leaders are, you know, on the older side, you know, rather than on the younger side. So it'll be a struggle for them to figure out how they can really engage meaningfully rather than just using simple gimmicks.
Badrul, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Badrul Hisham Ismail, Director of Programs at Iman Research, weighing in on how the impending implementation of Undi 18 will affect our political landscape. And on that note, we're sort of looking ahead and asking you, how would you like to see politics taught in our schools? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
Side Story with Sharmila and Lynn. We are talking today about the impending implementation of Undi 18 and how that might affect our political landscape. So earlier, we looked at politics in general. Now, we're really going to hone in on how political parties might respond to this, what sorts of changes they might put in place. And for that, we'll shortly be joined by Howard Lee, who is, of course, Perak Assembly Person for Pasir Pinji and DAP Youth Chief. But we do have lots of messages from you because we've been asking how you'd like to see politics being taught in our schools. And we have a number of thoughts. Let's start with this from, Cheryl.
Cheryl says, I hope all these new young voters will be voting out the older MPs.
I think that's something that's come up a number of times, not necessarily voting out older MPs, but more the question of introducing, I think, or supporting younger voices in Parliament, which is something we often see not being done enough.
So, yeah, that's the thing, right? I think when we spoke earlier also about the tone that is taken with younger politicians, part of that is they are so few. So it makes them kind of easy pickings, right? Because there's just simply more of older, more seasoned politicians, people for whom Parliament is like a second home kind of thing. And so, I think that having more representation is a more realistic idea also of how change actually happens, compared to a voting out, I suppose.
Do keep those thoughts coming on the implementation of Undi 18, but also more widely, how would you like to see politics being taught in school? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now to talk about how political parties might respond to this new development, we are joined by Howard Lee, Perak Assembly Person for Pasir Pinji, as well as DAP Youth Chief. Howard, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So, to start off with, do you think the implementation of Undi 18 will have a major impact on how political parties approach the elections?
I mean, that's a very wide-ranging question. But if one was to look at purely the numbers, first we have to acknowledge the fact that it has to be linked with automatic voter registration, and I'm referring to the Kuching High Court decision as well as the what has been announced by the Law Minister. If one was to take cognizance of above 21, those who are qualified as voters above 21 with automatic voter registration, you're going to be seeing an increase of 4 million voters as we stand right now. And those under, between 18 to 20, you're going to see an increase of another 3.8. I mean, assuming elections are going to be in 2023 or even slightly before, you're talking about 3.5 to 3.8 million extra voters. So you're seeing a net gain of the entire electoral roll ballooning up by like some 7.5 to 7.8 million voters. So, and if you were to refer back to the entire electoral roll in 2018, you're talking about 14 million something, and it's going to suddenly skyrocket to about 20 million. So if I was to say that, no, that's not going to be much of an impact, I would be lying through my teeth. But I mean, I, to a certain extent, I kind of share Badrul's kind of pessimism of whether or not there's going to be a direct kind of sea change in political dynamics. I very much doubt there's going to be a sea change, but there is definitely an unknown factor or a certain dynamicism that's going to be introduced in the form of an almost, 25% increase in the entire electoral roll. So all in all, yes, there's going to be an impact.
So we're seeing PKR, for example, taking in youth activists in preparation for this. How do you think this will play among young voters?
That's not just PKR. I think it's just the key difference is PKR is announcing that they're taking in activists. I think DAP and Amana have continually and is continuously doing so and always have done. Let's take DAP, for example. We do have a track record and the habit of not just taking in, but actually fielding candidates who are youthful and are of the activist nature or predisposition. Yours truly being one. When I was elected, first elected, I was 29, though relatively not that young compared to those who are entering the electoral roll at 18 to 20. The one key factor is I think all parties, especially within Pakatan Harapan, has an inclination to attract, admit, and also to field younger candidates. So I think, all in all, I do feel that it's something that we welcome, it's something that we all work towards and we all put into practice. And whether or not it will have an impact, I think that must be left for the electorate themselves to cast their judgment. And it has been a positive, there have been positive indications of that being a tactical move. And of course, we will continue to do so.
So Howard, we do have this message from an Easy Peasy who says, well, imagine the UMNO Youth Chief Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki. He's 45 years old doing the hey fellow kids thing during the upcoming GE. Now, the reason I bring that up is because, as you mentioned, you yourself are in your late 30s now. You are DAP Youth Chief. Do you feel that you're adequately still able to represent the youth voice?
The long and short of it is no, I don't feel adequate because I'm supposedly going to be retired this November, but because of the MCO and also what we're going through right now, that may possibly be delayed. All in all, I have been elected into the mandate at 35, and I was elected at 35. I contested because I felt that I could do the job. The mandate was given by the electorate, namely the youth wing delegates. So I would like to think that I have sufficiently done my job. But as of now, being 38, do I feel adequate right now? No. In fact, I feel extremely inadequate, but I will continue to do the job until the new youth chief of the AP comes along. But will I be able to successfully deliver what is required? I do feel that I can, and as I have, I would like to think. Do I feel adequate? No. Can I do the job? I feel yes. Of course, I would like to see someone who's more representative in the role in due course.
In that same vein, and I wanted to build on something you said earlier about agreeing with our earlier guest Badrul about the lack of immediate change, at least. We've discussed on the show before about why it is difficult for younger politicians to take the lead in political parties. There's a pecking order. It could be many years before one has a standing chance to even run as an MP. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, could Undi 18 change this culture?
Of course, Undi 18, it does not only afford an 18-year-old to vote, but it also affords one to stand as a candidate. And of course, that is still limited to those states, especially if you're talking about state legislative assemblies, those states who have affected their constitutional, state constitutional amendments. And in my home state, Perak, we were one of the earliest to have done so. So, of course, the door is open and the opportunities and the, I would say, the constitutional provision is there for an 18-year-old, if one chooses to do so, and if a party chooses to do so, to field candidates who are 18-year-old. And that would be a sea change. And that is a sea change that I am pressuring for, I am requesting for, and I am working for within my own party. But of course, that at the end of the day, if one becomes a candidate and does not win because the electorate themselves are not yet ready or not, you know, does not make the choice or do not make the choice, I think that is the key thing that we must address. And I think that has to come through some kind of a proactive action by the political parties to put forward, to highlight, to give opportunities or to open up the room for the 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds to step forward to show themselves as capable. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to plug my own party here, but I do feel that my party has been one of the most forthcoming in terms of, you know, opening up the room for performance for younger leaders. I myself was elected at 29, and at that particular juncture, that is quite progressive. And, you know, the youngest elected rep in my state assembly is, of course, he was elected at, what, 25 or 26. My dear friend Sadiq, he was elected at 26, perhaps. And I think these examples and these precedences are definitely something that we must encourage to become more of a norm. And I think it's a struggle. It is a struggle. I don't mean it's a struggle as in it's difficult, but it's a struggle like all political struggles are struggles. And one must transition from it being a struggle towards a norm. And I think political parties have a role to play in it. And certainly my party and I will certainly will push for this to be the norm in Pakatan Harapan. And now I am the Pakatan Harapan youth chief for even if it is for a few more months left. But it's definitely something that we're working towards.
Howard, we just have about a minute left. Given that GE15 will be held next year, what issues do you think the youth would like political parties to focus on?
I think the qualification, as we would like to think, that the elections are going to be held next year. We don't know. It could be up to 2023. And of course, the foremost is, you know, Undi 18, where 18, this is a long fought for fight. And I think we're seeing some kind of light at the end of the tunnel. But the other one is that the larger picture and the larger question of whether or not we'll be able to return some semblance of confidence towards democracy. Because I think the largest threat that we're facing is an absolute, you know, disgusted lack of confidence towards democracy because of what happened, you know, after Lanka Sheraton. And I think it's not about what we hope we will see, but it's about the actions that we take as political leaders, political parties, people's representatives and elected officials, what we do and how we are to act and, you know, put into action to return that confidence to the electorate. Let's stop hoping and let's start making changes.
Howard, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Pleasure as always.
That was Howard Lee, Perak Assembly Person for Pasir Pinji and DAP Youth Chief, weighing in on how political parties can take into account the fact that soon those aged 18 and above will be able to vote. After this, we'll be looking at how this can be extended sort of backwards and how schools can start instilling political awareness in students. So we'd like to hear from you. How would you like to see politics taught in schools? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:52. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're going to cap off this conversation on the eventual implementation of Undi 18 by looking at how we can create more political awareness amongst our young people, particularly in schools. So we'd like to hear from you. Do send your thoughts our way. How can we be teaching politics in schools? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now joining us is Ozelia Kristen Mozihim, co-founder of Edufication and campaigner for Undi Sabah. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So what have you heard from your students about Undi 18 in general? How are they feeling about being eligible to vote?
Well, the reactions are mixed. Some of them responded by saying that they don't know anything about politics. Some of them, they say that they're not interested. Well, some of them, they have a general awareness that they have to know about politics because soon they will be eligible enough to vote. But maybe they don't necessarily know how to go about it. But I guess this is the case with adults as well.
To our central point, right? How is politics discussed or taught in schools at the moment?
Okay, from what I know, it's through history subjects, but the political context of what's been taught is focused in the past, which is prior to formation of Malaysia. So the topics won't touch on the current political context. Another one is through a civics manual for secondary school, which was introduced in 2019. It aims to replace civic education as a sole subject with the whole school approach. In this manual, there is a chapter on introducing political parties, but even if this manual has been circulated to schools, I doubt that schools would implement it because they have other priorities in mind.
In that case, then, how would you like to see politics be introduced in schools or expanded on?
Well, the idea of it has already been introduced, but I guess the implementation is weak. So I would like for teachers in Malaysia to be trained on teaching civics and citizenship and have ongoing workshops on internalizing values of social justice, human rights, and also democracy. Prior to this, even with having civic education as a standalone subject, the teachers teaching the subject are not trained. I guess this is because in Malaysia, specialization on civics education is not available, as opposed to the United Kingdom. The universities there, they have courses on social justice and citizenship. So I guess for Malaysia to move forward after Undi 18 is implemented, is to bring teachers into the fold and actively promote political or civic awareness.
So I have a strong opinion about this, but is there a right age to introduce politics into the syllabus?
How the UK does it. They start from little, from primary school, I guess, but they have to go by levels. Like they don't necessarily explicitly touch on what partisan politics. It's just they focus on the issues surrounding them, like love and or respect. So that is related to human rights. But of course, for primary school, they don't necessarily explicitly touch on human rights. They focus on respect. So it's how they frame it so that when they get older, they will understand that, oh, this is related. So love and respect is related to human rights, for example. This is for the UK. I'm not sure in Malaysia yet, but maybe we can follow the UK's example.
And how do you personally bring political awareness into your classrooms?
Well, a few of the approaches that I have done in my class is I have them debate policies. I don't have them talk about partisan politics explicitly, but to have them debate policies, it can already indirectly have them evaluate the performance of the current government or the opposition, because we cannot separate policies from politics. It's just that I personally would like them have policy discussions rather than talking about partisan politics. As for the topics of politics that I get them to debate about in my lessons, I like to bring in topics that have been discussed in Parliament. A few of the things that have been debated were such as free breakfast in schools, lowering down the voting age to 18, and alcohol bans. Well, some of them, they don't know about these issues. So as a teacher, I introduce the issues to them, but I do not dictate which side is wrong or right. That one, I have them decide and let them reflect even after the debate or the class is over. Before debating, they get into the groups and discuss, as well as look up information online to support the arguments. So that way, they're more exposed to different perspectives and information. So as a teacher, I only facilitate. Apart from that, I also get them to role play. I told them to think of themselves as the representative of their constituency and identify issues that need to be solved. So with proper guidance, they are able to identify the problem, identify the causes of that problem, and propose solutions. This is similar to the format of Parliament Belia, but the concept is smaller, whereby they only focus on the issues surrounding their constituency or kampung. I want to have them start at the easy level first because I don't want to overwhelm them. In fact, before school closures took place in the middle of this year, I did this with my current Form 4 students, which is the best that will vote when they turn 18 in 2023, which is also the year that we expect to have our 15th general election. So there is that.
Auxilia, thank you for speaking with us today.
Okay, thank you for having me.
That was Auxilia Christine Mozihim, co-founder of Edufication and campaigner for Undi Sabah, speaking to us about how we can implement a political education, really, in schools. And we'd like to hear from you. How would you like to see politics introduced in our schools? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.